Okay. So tonight we'll continue with chapter 10. What is chapter 10 called? The deliverance of? Yamalajun trees. So the two demigods whose names are? Manigriva and Nalukovara. Okay. So we'll hear about their pastime as it continues. Last night we did verses 1 to 13. Tonight we will continue from verses 14 to 28. Okay. So, by seeing their faces, one whose body has been pricked by pins can understand the pain of others who are pin-pricked. Realizing that this pain is the same for everyone, he does not want others to suffer in this way. But one who has never been pricked by pins cannot understand this pain. So, what have a bundle for?
That's a saying. The happiness of wealth is enjoyable by a person who has tasted the disgust of poverty. There is also another common saying. A woman who has not given birth to a child cannot understand the pain of childbirth. Unless one comes to the platform of actual experience, one cannot realize what is pain and what is happiness in this material world. The nose of nature acts accordingly. If one has killed an animal, one must himself be killed by the same animal. This is called mamsa. Mam means me, and sa means he. As I am eating an animal, that animal will have the opportunity to eat me in every state. Therefore, it is ordinarily the custom that if a person commits a murder, he is hanged.
So what are the points there?
Nowadays the government is against the capital.
Yeah, in many countries that's happened. So. Anything else?
What is
it?
But a reaction, there is reaction.
What is that called? Yeah, so we're seeing that there are different types of intelligence. Prabhupada explains the first class intelligence means you just have to see something, and just by seeing it, then you will understand it. Second class intelligence means you hear about the thing, but still, you have to experience it yourself to get the realization. Third class intelligence means that you will keep committing the same mistakes again and again. So we need to become first class intelligent. We need to understand the Bhagavatam's philosophy as it is being spoken. Last night, it specifically says that if one becomes wealthy, one will become bewildered by the material energy, unless one uses one's wealth in Krishna's service. So that is the system. Otherwise, you will become bewildered. So it is being described here that if you have first-class intelligence, you can see that. So then if you are accumulating by the laws of material nature, by your karma, extra wealth, you can use that in Krishna's service. You don't become bewildered. But if you're second-class intelligent, then you may try to enjoy that wealth separately from Krishna, but then you will get some realization. Third class means that you'll just continuously do the same thing again and again and again. So here it is being said, we must become first-class intelligent. Prabhupada expected that from us. Most of us not on that level. Most of us are second class. Second class means we make mistakes. And then we realize like that. But the Bhagavatam is telling us straightforwardly, do not become bewildered. Nalukuvara and Manigriva. What do these two represent? We discussed last night. Pride and arrogance. These two boys. Do you want me to read again what they represent? Hands up if anyone wants me to read. You want to hear it again? You want to hear? Okay. So what do these two boys represent? What does this pastime represent? Ooh. It's probably going to be. Just give me 1 second. My car's run out of. Hello? Yeah. Okay, are you at the back? Okay, I'll just send someone down. Thank you. Sorry about that. My car battery has gone flat, so I have to do it. Bad timing. In the material world. I'll wait for Sri Chaitanya to come back, and then I'll read what the two boys represent. Like that, so. Any points? Okay. Text number 15. A poverty-stricken man must automatically undergo austerities and penances because he does not have the wealth to possess anything. Thus his false prestige is vanquished. Always in need of food, shelter, and clothing, he must be satisfied with what is obtained by the mercy of Providence. Undergoing such compulsory austerities is good for him because this purifies him and completely frees him from false ego. Janesh, you want to read them?
Is any person born to be in such a state of poverty just to become free from material poverty? Many great kings left their kingly standard of living and entered the forest to practice austerity according to the Vedic culture, just to become purified. One who does not voluntarily accept austerity is put into a situation of poverty. He automatically must practice austerity. Austerity is good for everyone because it frees one from material condition. Therefore, if one is very much proud of his material position, putting him into poverty is the best way to rectify his foolishness. That is the Dojar Guna Rashi Nashi. When a person is pro-autistic, naturally his false pride in aristocracy, wealth, education, and beauty is matched. Thus, character, he is in the right position for liberation.
So, any points there?
Aristocracy, wealth, education, and beauty are all, in a way, dangerous.
Yeah, dangerous, unless they're used in Krishna's service. Yeah. So, it's being said there here, in order to become purified, you have to perform tapasya. Tapasya means?
Pre-accepting something.
You don't want to accept. Yeah. So what do we call tapasya in English? Austerity. You have to do austerity, tapasya. That is the only way to purify your consciousness. Yeah, tapo divyam. No? Rishabdev says you have to do austerity, which is for the pleasure of the guru and Krishna. That way you become purified. Otherwise, if you do not perform austerity, your consciousness does not become purified. Right? So it is necessary here, it is being said, if you have wealth, you need to use that in Krishna's service. Right? Even you may not like to give as much. And we're discussing this point this morning also in the class. You may say, I don't want to give so much to Krishna. But then when you do give it, you become purified. That's austerity. So that is the nature of austerity. It purifies the consciousness. Therefore, austerity is said to be the wealth of the brahmanas. How do you become spiritually powerful? How do you advance in Krishna consciousness? You have to do austerity. If you don't do austerity, you don't become advanced in Krishna consciousness. It has to be done. So what is the best austerity you can do? Yeah, it's to give Krishna consciousness to others. It's an austerity. You have to drive to Ballarat every Sunday. That's an austerity. And then you have to drive back from Ballarat every Sunday. That's an austerity. But you're doing it for Krishna, for Guru and Krishna. Therefore, that austerity will purify the consciousness. And if you don't do austerity on behalf of Krishna, you don't get purified. So that is the system. So as being said here, you must voluntarily practice austerity. Under the guidance of the spiritual master. Don't speculate. Don't just make up your own austerity. But whatever the guru is giving. So, any point?
Mentioned, we have to, a devotee has to practice what's called induced poverty. the word in English for what it means.
Who says that?
Who?
Yeah. It means that we should live middle class. Yeah, too much austerity is not good. For brahmacharis, that's okay. Like that. But not for grihasthas. They should just live middle class. They should not be too wealthy, but they should not be too poor either. Because both can cause problems.
I guess the point that you're trying to say in that class, I was trying to say, is although you're rich, you should have an induced poverty within you. So consciousness should be in reduced poverty.
Yeah.
People living, although you're rich.
Yeah. That's good. Any other points?
No, just if that point kind of like anything when they said like if Krishna wants to take everything, how much can we hold with two hands? And if Krishna wants to give us, you know, anything, how much can we also receive? So we should just make to realize how foolish we are thinking that we are the proprietors of Krishna when everything belongs to us.
Good.
Here, Prabhupada has mentioned Guruji, performing practical austerity according to the Vedic culture. In previous yugas, it was possible. But in this day and age, practice asana, at home, and that's why we go to the forest.
No, you can't go to the forest. Not in this age. Okay. Always hungry, longing for sufficient food, a poverty-stricken man gradually becomes weaker and weaker. Having no extra potency, his senses are automatically pacified. A poverty-stricken man, therefore, is unable to perform harmful, envious activities. In other words, such a man automatically gains the results of the austerities and penances adopted voluntarily by saintly persons. Jagannath, you like to read them.
According to the opinion of experienced medical practitioners, diabetes is a result of voracious eating and tuberculosis is a disease of undereating. We should desire neither to be diabetic nor to be tubercular. We should eat frugally and keep the body fit for advancing Krishna consciousness, as recommended elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam. The real business of human life is to keep oneself fit for advancement and spiritual realization. Human life is not meant for making the senses unnecessarily strong so that one suffers from disease and one increases in an envious fighting spirit. In this age of Kali, however, human civilization is so misled that people are unnecessarily increasing in economic development, and as a result they are opening more and more slaughterhouses, liquor shops and brothels. In this way the whole civilization is being spoiled.
Good. Okay, so what are the points there?
Extremes can be either powerful.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, Prabhupada's emphasizing here that if you want to make advancement in Krishna consciousness, you have to keep the body fit. Because if you overeat, then Prabhupada says you will get diabetes. And actually, these days in Western world, there's a diabetes epidemic. So many people have got diabetes now. Right? And where does it come from? Because you're eating too much. You're not burning off the energy. Right? And then Prabhupada says if you eat too little, you get tuberculosis. It's very common. Not so common now, but in the past. People who were in poverty, when there were famines and these things, everyone got tuberculosis. It means the body becomes weak and the immune system becomes weak. So devotees, we said that this morning in the class, not too much sense gratification, and not too much renunciation. If you want to advance in Krishna consciousness, you have to be in the middle. Now, if you practice too much renunciation falsely, you cannot advance. Right? And if you too much sense gratification, also you can't advance in Krishna consciousness. So it has to be in the middle. That is the way to advance in Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada says that you have to keep your body fit. The body has to be strong. The mind has to be strong. Otherwise, you can't practice Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said to Dhananjaya Prabhu, health first, then Krishna consciousness. You have to go and see the Ayurvedic doctor. You called today? Okay. Good. That's good. So if you have some health problem, you go. There's good. I know good doctors, natural people. You go and see these people. Right? They will fix you. They know these things. So then, you keep your body strong. You keep the mind strong. Why? So that you can advance in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said health first. If you're not healthy, if your body is not strong, mind is not strong, you can't meditate on Krishna. If the mind is weak, if the body is weak, very difficult. Just like my wife got a message from her Guru Maharaj, Kadambakanand Swami, yesterday. So Maharaj, he had cancer recently. So now he's in India. He's doing like Panchakarma. So he has another 5 days to go. So he said he's feeling very weak. Because like heavy treatment, like that. And he said his mind is weak at the moment. And he says very hard to focus his mind. Because all this treatment makes you difficult. To do these things. So we should not let our body and mind become like that. Body has to be strong, mind has to be strong, then you can serve Krishna. So that is your seva. It is not maya. Just like sometimes Devamrita Swami says to his disciples, go to the gym, or go swimming every day, or do this or do it like that. That is not maya. That is your responsibility. You have to keep your body fit and strong, so then you can serve Krishna nicely. You see, Prabhupada, every day, Prabhupada, morning walk, 1 hour every day, go for a big walk. He walked down here on this beach down here, in Beaconsfield Parade. Prabhupada used to walk right down to St. Kilda and then back. Or Royal Botanical Gardens, Prabhupada walked all around there, right, many times. Every day, morning, and then massage, Ayurvedic massage every day with oils, massage every day. And he was very particular about what he ate. So he's looking after his health so he could serve Krishna, Guru and Krishna. And that is your responsibility. Do not neglect. That is maya. If you neglect, that is maya. Devotees think, oh, it is maya if I look after my body. No, it is maya if you don't look after your body. Okay. Any points? Yes, Mataji. Where is it in the translation or the purport?
The translation.
Which part? Which line? The last line, is it? A poverty-stricken man, therefore, is unable to perform harmful, envious activities. Yeah, if you're too weak, it means you can't do it. It means if you're too weak, then it's difficult to do those things. It doesn't matter so much. Don't worry about it. Okay. Any other point? Okay. Saintly persons may freely associate with those who are poverty-stricken, but not with those who are rich. A poverty-stricken man, by association with saintly persons, very soon becomes uninterested in material desires, and the dirty things within the core of his heart are cleansed away. So, Brihad Bhanu.
Yes. It is said, Mahat Vichalam Miram Grihana Deena Ketasam. The only business of the saintly person or sannyasi, a person in this renounced order, is to preach Krishna consciousness. Sadhus, saintly persons, want to preach to both the poor and the rich, but the poor take more advantage of the sadhus preaching than the rich do. The poor man receives sadhus very quickly, offers them obeisances and tries to take advantage of their presence, whereas a rich man keeps a big greyhound dog at his door so that no one can enter his house. He posts a sign saying beware of dog and avoids the association of saintly persons. Whereas a poor man keeps his door open for them and thus benefits by their association more than a rich person does, rich man does. Because Narad Muni in his previous life was a poverty stricken son of the maid servant, he got the association of the saintly person and later became exalted Narad Muni. This was his actual experience. Therefore, he is now comparing the position of a poor man with that of a rich man. If one gets the advantage of association with saintly persons, but their instructions one become one becomes more and more purified of material desires. Material life means that one forgets Krishna and that one increases one's desire for sense gratification. But if one receives the advantage of instructions from saintly person and forgets the importance of material desire, one is automatically purified. Cheto darpana marjanam bhava mada kani yavakam. Unless the core of the materialistic person's heart is purified, he cannot get rid of the pangs of bhava mahadavan, the blazing fire of material existence.
What are the points there?
Poor people have very open hearts.
Yeah.
Rich people, their heart is hard.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. Yeah, so it means that if one is too much attached to these things, Janmaishraya Shuta Shribya. We're discussing this morning and last night. Queen Kunti says, Janma means aristocratic birth. You're attached to the family you're born in. Aishwarya means wealth. That's the most dangerous. Shuta means you're very learned. And Shribya means you are attractive body. Then, if you're attached to any of these things, you cannot be Akinshana Gochara. Akinshana means renounced, detached. And if you're not detached, it's very difficult to get association with saintly people. If you're attached, if you're too materialistic, too much absorbed in the body, and too much absorbed in materialistic activities, then you cannot associate with the saintly persons. They will avoid you. So therefore you need to become detached. You have to practice renunciation. If you become qualified, the saintly people, they want to give you their association. They want to give you their mercy. Otherwise, it's difficult. So Prabhupada says, don't be too attached. Don't be too detached. You just have to be the right. But you have the right consciousness. The kids have to calm down. I can't concentrate. So if the devotee is overly attached, then he will lose the opportunity to associate with the more advanced devotees. Yeah. So then we have to make it our responsibility to become advanced, and then we will attract the mercy of the devotees. So, any points? Hey, you two girls, go and sit down. Sit down. Not at the front. Better they sit at the back. It's too distracting. Backside. Backside. Okay. Sit down the back. You can do your drawing here. Okay. Have to be quiet. Quiet. Shanti, Shanti. Okay. Any points? See these boys at the back? They're very quiet boys. See? There's two boys here. I watch them. I always watch them. Boys are more naughty than girls, but these two are very quiet. You girls have to be a little bit quiet. I'm watching. Okay. Any other points? Saintly persons, sattus, think of Krishna 24 hours a day. They have no other interest. Why should people neglect the association of such exalted spiritual personalities and try to associate with materialists, taking shelter of non-devotees, most of whom are proud and rich? So, Rohini, you'd like to read?
Sadhu is Sarva Sehino, the friend to everyone.
Why then should the rich, instead of associating with the savage, waste their valuable time in associating with other rich men who are averse to spiritual life? Both the poor man and the rich man can take advantage of the Krishna conscious movement. And here it is advised that everyone do so. There is no profit in avoiding the association of members of Krishna conscious movement. Narottama Das Thakur has said, if we give up the association of sadhus, saintly persons engaged in Krishna consciousness, and associate with persons seeking sense gratification and accumulating wealth, for this purpose our life is spoiled. The word asat refers to a Vaishnava, one who is not a devotee of Krishna, and sat refers to a Vaishnava, Krishna's devotee. One should always seek the association of Vaishnavas and not spoil one's life by mixing with avaishnavas. In the Bhagavad Gita, the distinction between a Vaishnava and an avaishnava is enunciated. Anyone who is not surrendered to Krishna is a most sinful person, Dushkriti, a rascal, Unha, and the lowest of men, Maradama. Therefore, one should not avoid the association of Vaishnavas, which is now available all over the world in the form of the Krishna conscious movement.
That's all.
Okay, what are the points there?
Importance of association.
Good. What else?
By taking the state shelter and the association of the sadhus, we can develop the good qualities from the process. Because they have the qualities of the deity of Krishna and this was the pictures of Anika.
Yeah, Prabhupada's pointing out that if you're materially intoxicated, you'll want to avoid the sadhus. If you're not following the regularly the principles, you want to avoid the sadhus. You don't want to associate with the devotees, because the devotees will remind you that you need to surrender to Krishna. So if you're too much engaged in sinful activity, then it pollutes your consciousness. You don't want to associate with the devotees. You'll see people who are sinful. They know Krishna consciousness is the right thing, but because they're committing sinful activities, they become contaminated in their consciousness. They can't come with the devotees. They can't associate with the devotees. They keep themselves at a distance. So therefore, it is saying here that we have to be very strict in following the regulative principles. No meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling. We have to be very strict. Then keeping ourselves purified, in purified consciousness, then you can associate with the devotees. And the devotees will want to associate with you. Otherwise, if you're not following strictly, then devotees will be, they will keep a distance. If someone is materialistic in their consciousness. So that we all of us have to do that. Keep your consciousness purified. Devotees will give you their mercy. They'll want to associate. That is the system which is there. So, any points?
And Narottama
Das Thakur, I think
he said that. What does it mean?
Yeah. That is the system. You have to get the association of devotees, birth after birth. Then you will go back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Okay. Therefore, since these two persons, drunk with the liquor named Varuni or Madhvi, and unable to control their senses, have been blinded by the pride of celestial opulence and have become attached to women, I shall relieve them of their false prestige. So, Chaitanya Leela, you want to?
When the
Sadhu just practices of punishing someone, he doesn't do so for revenge. Maharaj Parikshit had inquired why Narada Muni was subject to such a spirit of revenge. But this wasn't tamad, for Narada Muni, in full knowledge of what was for the good of the two brothers, wisely thought of how to cure them. Vaishnavas are good physicians. They know how to protect a person from material disease. Thus, they are never in tamaguna. Sagunam. Vaishnavas are always situated on the transcendental platform, the Brahman platform. They cannot be subject to mistakes or the influence of the mortal material nature. Whatever they do, after full consideration, is meant just to lead everyone back home, back to Godhead.
Good. So what are the points there? Prabhupada said Vaishnavas are good physicians, means doctors. We said that last night. This morning we said it. I think we said last night in the class. ISKCON is a hospital. A hospital means people are getting over their disease. Sometimes people say, why the devotee acted like that? Why the devotee acted like that? Because there's still disease from the material energy. So it takes time to overcome your disease. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a gradual process of purification. But the sadhu, the guru, he is the physician. So he says, you do like this, you do like that, then you'll become purified in your consciousness. You'll cure yourself of the material disease. And sometimes the guru, he has to speak to you very strongly. Sadhu means one who cuts. He cuts your false ego. He tells you not to come late for the Bhakti Vedanta course. He has to cut your ego. Otherwise you stay in Maya for your whole life. How will you go back to Godhead if you're late all the time? So this is the system. You need to be corrected by the sadhu. So sadhu does that because he sees what is the medicine you need to overcome your disease. So sometimes he has to push you. Sometimes he has to give you the bitter pill. Raghunath Das Goswami, he prays to Sanatan Goswami. He made me drink the bitter medicine of renunciation. I was not willing to accept it. Hands up if you like austerity. Devotees don't like austerity. They want to eat on a kodashi. Nice prasada. They're too attached. On a kodashi, they eat more opulent. Supposed to be doing austerity, supposed to be fasting. Some don't even drink the water. Oh, man, what's going on here? Yeah. So it is. Some devotees, they don't like to do the austerity, but you're meant to do the austerity. And like on the Ekadashi, you're meant to reduce. Some devotees, they don't even drink water on Ekadashi. Some devotees only drink water like that. You're meant to reduce like that. You have to do some austerity, tapodivyam, for the pleasure of Krishna. Give yourself more time to hear and chant. So you don't like to do renunciation. So sometimes these senior devotees have to push you to do some renunciation, do some austerity, to make advancement, to purify your consciousness. So Raghunath Das Goswami says, I was unwilling, but Sanatan Goswami, he pushed me and he made me taste the nectar of renunciation. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, it is like poison in the beginning, but it is like nectar in the end. That's why a devotee pushes you. In the beginning, it's difficult for you, but in the end, you get a taste. So that's what Narada is doing to the boys. The boys are not well behaved, so then he has to push them. So they will give up their material desires and attachments. Otherwise, you'll never give up your material desires and attachments unless you surrender to the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna. So, any points?
I heard that she was already renounced quite a bit.
Yeah, he was. But he said that Sanat Goswami gave him more. Even the pure devotees, they can feel benefit from the association of other pure devotees. What?
That our analogy was in Tamagun.
Narada?
Mm.
Yeah, Narada is not in Tamagun.
No, I mean, was this question for Narada people, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. There's someone called Sharada Rata. Who would be sitting in Prabhupada's room 5,000 years later. He asked the question for you, for your benefit. Okay. You had a point?
I have a question. Last week, yesterday, we were talking about how Narada Muni put them into the trees as a punishment, but it was for their eventual... They were so lucky in the end to see Krishna. And it just... It reminded me a little bit of how Krishna works. Sometimes everything sort of works out perfectly. But my question is, even though Krishna frees them in the end because of Narada Muni's wish for him to see them, but that energy is Krishna's energy when everything works perfectly. I'm not able for some reason to make the... Is Krishna in control of
Krishna is subservient to the devotee. Just like if your friend's son says something, then you will carry it out because your friend said. Your friend said, this will be done. So you make sure it gets done. Because your friend said it, you don't want to let your friend down. So Narada Muni says, so Krishna makes sure it gets done. Not hard to understand. Any other point? Okay. These two young men, Nalakuvara and Manigriva, are by fortune the sons of the great demigod Kuvera. But because of false prestige and madness after drinking liquor, they are so fallen that they are naked, but cannot understand that they are. Therefore, because they are living like trees, for trees are naked but are not conscious, these two young men should receive the bodies of trees. This will be proper punishment. Nonetheless, after they become trees and until they are released, by my mercy, they will have remembrance of their past sinful activities. Moreover, by my special favor, after the expiry of 100 years, by the measurement of the demigods, they will be able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, face to face, and thus revive their real position as devotees. Okay, so Mitesh, are you liking for reading? Please read.
If he has no consciousness, when cut, he feels no pain. But Narada Muni wanted the consciousness of Nalakuvara and Manigriva to come to him. That even after being released from the life of peace, you will not forget the circumstances under which they had been punished. Therefore, to bestow upon them special favor, Narada Muni arranged things in such a way that after being released, you were not able to see Krishna in Vrindavana and thus revive their dormant bhakti. Each day of the demigod in the upper planetary system equals 6 months of our measurement. All the demigods in the upper planetary system attached to material enjoyment, they are all devotees and therefore they are called demigods. There are two kinds of persons, namely the devas and the asuras. Asuras forget their relationship with Krishna. Asuram bhavan ashrita. Whereas the devas do not forget. The distinction between a pure devotee and a karma mishra devotee is this. A pure devotee does not desire anything for material enjoyment, Whereas a mixed devotee becomes a devotee to become a first class enjoyer of this material world. One who is in direct touch with Supreme Personality of Godhead in devotional service remains pure and contaminated by material desires. By Karma Mishra Bhakti, one is elevated to celestial kingdom. By Jnana Mishra Bhakti, one is able to merge in Brahman presence. And by Yoga Mishra Bhakti, one is able to realize the omnipotency of the Supreme Personality of God. But pure bhakti doesn't depend on karma, jnana or yoga, for it simply consists of loving affairs. The liberation of the bhakta, therefore, which is called not just mukti, but vimukti, surpasses the five other kinds of liberation, sahajya, swarupya, salokya, rasti, and sampiya. A pure devotee always engages in pure service. Taking birth in the upper planetary system as a demigod is a chance to become a forever purified devotee and to go back home back to Godhead. Narada Muni immediately gave Manikya and Nalakuvela the greatest opportunity by this so called curse.
So, what are the points there?
How is it possible to be attached to material enjoyment and still be remembering the Lord Godhead?
What do you mean?
The situation that they describe for demigods.
No, they can't do both. You can't do both at the same time. You can do, to a degree you can do it, but you can't fully remember Krishna. You can't always remember Krishna. Yeah. Prabhupada said sense gratification and Krishna consciousness go ill together. You can't do both simultaneously. Only to a degree, but you cannot fully remember Krishna. The goal is to always remember Krishna. So, as Prabhupada is pointing out here, that when we get cursed, we don't really get cursed. I mean, none of us, hands up if you've ever been cursed. I don't think we get cursed. Generally, that does not happen. But you'll get chastised by the senior devotees. So when you get chastised by the senior devotees, that is a blessing. Because it's removing your false ego. Even sometimes Krishna arranges it just to remove your false ego. You didn't actually do something wrong. I remember a few years ago, then here at the temple, one senior devotee chastised me. And actually what I did was a mistake. I didn't mean to do it. It wasn't like I meant to do something. But they thought, I'd done like that. So then they got very heavy. So what was the result? The result was my false ego became diminished. So it was good. So sometimes Krishna arranges that you would get chastised by the senior devotee, but maybe you didn't even do anything wrong. But still that is beneficial. I remember one time one of my godbrothers, he got chastised by my guru. And he hadn't even done that thing. And then later on, one of my other godbrothers, he said, but weren't you upset that he chastised you and you didn't even make the mistake? He said, anyway, I made so many mistakes, which he didn't find out about, so when I got chastised for that, then... That's purifying. So when you get corrected by the senior devotee, that's for your benefit. So that you will become purified. That's the system. So, it's explaining here that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the Amala Purana. Srimad Bhagavatam, Puranam, Amalam, Yad, Vaishnavanam, Priyam. Right? It is the pure, spotless Purana. So it deals with pure devotional service, not mixed devotional service. It's not for those who are interested in mixed bhakti. It is for those who are interested in pure bhakti. You can do mixed bhakti, like the demigods, they're devotees. That's the point that Prabhupada's making. The demigods are mixed devotees. They have desires for sense gratification. So they do devotional service, but they also satisfy their senses. But that is not the goal of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is teaching us pure devotional service. Devotional service devoid of any other desires. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana kamad yanadvidam means without any of the other things. That is what we're aiming for. So we're not on that platform yet, but we must understand that's what we should become. Free of all material desires. That's what the Bhagavad Gita is teaching us. Become free of material desires. Any points?
Prabhupada has mentioned here that Narad Muni, even after it was released, they could not think of Krishna. That means they would become pure devotees, right? Once they were released by Krishna. Isn't that true?
Yeah, they became pure devotees, yeah. They developed prema.
But here it says that he gave them an opportunity to, because they could not remember Krishna constantly, even after they were released. That's what it's mentioned. There's a kind of bit.
Where is it saying that? Indraga Manga, the great ability by his so-called curse. Then both in the upper as dimming a chance to be further purified and go back home, back to Godhead. Yeah. But it does mention they achieve prema, they achieve love for Krishna. Then they have to finish their life in that particular body, and then they can go back to Krishna. That's it. Any other point?
I've heard from the Damien Gospel, I am very eager to take birth on the earth, but there's more chance of purification here than there.
Yeah, it's easier. Mm-hmm. It's easier down here. Yeah. Here, on earth. More easy. St. Kilda Road is the easiest. Because that was their birth as a demigod. They had to go back and finish their life as a demigod. But they had already become pure devotees. So. GK?
And the other one is, why is what is yoga mushroom?
Yoga Mishra means when they meditate on the super soul, but they're attached to the process of yoga. Like that, so. Yeah. Like a yogi. Yogi is meditating on Paramatma. Yeah. So that is Yoga Mishra Bhakti. Yeah. He's trying to reach Paramatma, but he's doing it by the process of Ashtanga. Like that. So he's attached to the system of yoga. Bhakti mixed with yoga. Okay. So, thank you for doing that. I didn't think it would take so long. It's okay. Okay. So basically, you'll have to probably listen to the lectures. Did you listen to yesterday? Okay. If you listen to yesterday, you'll get the theme of what's going on in this chapter. Tonight also. Yesterday, probably you'll get more of a theme. But. So it's a basically. Theme is, I'll read to you. So, deliverance of Nalokavara Manigriva. So, what does this represent? What is it that we're supposed to be getting rid of? Each of the demons represents particular anatta. These are not demons, but this pastime represents. So, Prabhupada, or not Prabhupada, says Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this pastime represents the pride and arrogance coming from the feeling that one has an aristocratic birth and is wealthy. So it's pride, basically it's pride coming from wealth. It gives rise to cruelty to animals, lust for women, and indulgence in alcohol. These further give rise to debauchery of the tongue, uncontrolled eating habits, and loose talking. Then come general hard-heartedness, shamelessness, and all sorts of disgraceful activities. So when you become too wealthy and you become proud and intoxicated, then you become hard-hearted. You think you're better than everyone else. So you look down on the other people. And you don't relate to their suffering. So it's an impediment for bhakti. If you're feeling like this, devotees should not feel like that. If you have this mood that I am better and I am, you know, I'm wealthy, that's why wealth is dangerous for devotees. If you have wealth, you have to use it in Krishna's service. Otherwise, it's dangerous. Last night's good, actually. Listen to that one especially. Because especially it points out that of the four, Jamaishwarya, Shruta Shribya, beauty, learning, high birth, but wealth is the one that intoxicates the most. And when you get that, that brings your consciousness down. So devotees, sometimes they become wealthy, they have to use it in Krishna's service. Otherwise you will become bewildered. So these boys, they were good boys, but they become intoxicated and then big problem. So Narada had to curse them to bring them back to reality. That's the basic understanding. So. Okay. Sukadeva Goswami continued, having thus spoken, the great sage Devarshi Narada returned to his ashram known as Narayan Ashram, and Nalakuvara and Manigriva became twin Arjuna trees. So, Lila Mani, you like to read that?
Arjuna trees are still found in many forests, and their skin is used by cardiologists to prepare medicine for heart trouble. This means that even though they are trees, they are disturbed when skin for medical science.
Yeah. So you know in Ayurvedic medicine, there's one medicine called Arjuna. You know that one? Good Arjuna. It's a good medicine. You know that one? Mm. You took that? Yeah. You still take?
God medicine.
Krishna, come on. I've got some if you want it.
No.
Okay. So it's a good medicine. So it's made from the bark of the tree, of the Arjuna tree. The tree is named after Arjuna, the Pandava, because he's so strong. Very good for the heart. It makes the heart regular and strong. It's beating. It's good. So if they were born as these two trees, Yamala Arjuna trees, to Arjuna trees. And as Prabhupada pointing out, people come all the time to those trees and they take the bark and just rip it off. So it's like, imagine if someone comes to you every day and they just like pull off one of your fingernails or pull out one of your hairs or something like that. But that's what it's like being a tree. You can't protest. You just got to stand there all day and people, they can do whatever they want to you. Very difficult. You know? So it's a great punishment. And as Prabhupada's pointing out, when the sadhu corrects us, in this case it's a curse, but usually it's a correction, it's for our purification. Makes our consciousness purified. So they got deep realization, being in that body. It says here they're in the body for 100 celestial years, a long time in the body. And normally as a tree, the trees, all the trees around here, they don't understand, like this plant here, he doesn't know that he's a plant. Because the consciousness is very covered. But Narada made them remember. So they had to stay like that for 100 years. They're just thinking, stuck in that situation. And just thinking that they've made such a huge mistake. And then getting realization, all their wealth, all their potency being taken away. And then, because Narada is very merciful, the two trees were in Nanda Maharaj's courtyard in Gokul. And then he saw, oh, this is across the river now, so it must be yeah, they went to Chatika and then they went to Nandagram. I'm just thinking, I thought this pastime was over in Gokul. I can't remember. It's in one of those pastime places. So they were very fortunate because then when Krishna appeared after a long, long, long time, they were just watching him all the time. And they became attached to him. And that's when they became liberated. They developed prema. So when the advanced devotee chastises us, it's just for our benefit. Because then it lifts us up and helps us come closer to Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, to fulfill the truthfulness of the words of the greatest devotee Narada, slowly went to that spot where the twin Arjuna trees were standing. Although these two young men are the sons of the very rich Kuvera, and I have nothing to do with them, Devarshi Narada is my very dear and affectionate devotee, and therefore, because he wanted me to come face to face with them, I must do so for their deliverance. So Prabhupada points out that if you want to become Krishna conscious, you have to serve. Yeah, he says that. He says pure devotees. He says very advanced devotees. Sadhu Sangha. There are five potent items of bhakti which are given by Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar Devotion. What are the five processes? Yeah, Nama Kirtan means chanting the holy names, right? Sadhu Sangha means associating with the devotees, right? It means Bhagavat Shravan, means hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimurti Sevaya, Shradaya Sevan, which means serving the deities with great devotion and faith. And Mathura Bas means to reside in these holy places. Like ISKCON Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mundir, Sri Vrindavan Dham, Mayapur Dham, Jagannath Puri Dham, and Mitesh's house. So these holy places, you reside at those holy places. So, Sadhu Sangha. So specifically that means, that item of bhakti, Sadhu Sangha means advanced devotees. That's what it means. Any devotee, of course, we get it purified by, but especially it means advanced, rasika Vaishnavas. Devotees who are rasika, rasika means they have a taste for hearing about Krishna, hearing and chanting, they have taste. So by their association, you will also get taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna. So obviously the best association is Prabhupada himself. So you come up here to this room is open, you can come up here anytime, you can be with Prabhupada. Sometimes I come here just by myself, just to be with Prabhupada. Prabhupada's the only person in this world who doesn't give me any problems. Everyone else, there's some problem. But Prabhupada, no, does not give problems. Everyone else turns up late. But Prabhupada, he's never turns late, he's always on time. That is the difference. So, it means that you have to associate. So you have to find the association of the advanced devotees. Then you'll become purified. Thus having spoken, Krishna soon entered between the two Arjuna trees. And thus the big mortar to which he was bound turned crosswise and stuck between them. By dragging behind him with great force the wooden mortar tied to his belly, the boy Krishna uprooted the two trees by the great strength of the Supreme Person. The two trees, with their trunks, leaves and branches, trembled severely and fell to the ground with a great crash. Thereafter, in that very place where the two Arjuna trees had fallen, two great perfect personalities, who appeared like fire personified, came out of the two trees, the effulgence of their beauty illuminating all directions. They bowed, with bowed heads, they offered obeisances to Krishna, and with hands folded, they spoke the following words. So here Krishna is showing his power. What is his potency? His potency is that when he wants to deliver you, you become delivered. So even though they're in the most difficult situation, but Krishna delivered them. Simply he was a small boy. He was just crawling. But he crawled in between the two trees and then with his potency, he brought it down. So when Krishna wants to extract us from the material energy and take us back to the spiritual world, then he will come and he will remove everything and he will liberate us very easily. For Krishna, it's not hard to liberate. But you don't want to be liberated. Because you don't want to leave the material world, then Krishna's not coming to get you. But when you want to leave the material world, Krishna will come and he will take you out of the material world easily. But you have to have that desire, that you want to be liberated. So these two boys, they had that desire. They wanted to be liberated, so then Krishna came and he... Any points?
Devotees, because not when you want it, please not. everyone is serving Krishna in that way.
Any other points? Okay. So next Monday we'll finish the chapter. Srila Prabhupada ki.